A reading from the prophet Jeremiah. The king's leading men spoke to the king. Let Jeremiah be put to death. He is unquestionably disheartening the remaining soldiers in the city, and all the people too, by talking like this. The fellow does not have the welfare of his people at heart so much as its ruin. He is in your hands, as you know. King Zedekiah answered, for the king is powerless against you. So they took Jeremiah and threw him into the well of Prince Malachiah in the court of the guard, letting him down with ropes. There was no water in the well, only mud, and into the mud Jeremiah sank. Ebed-Melech came out from the palace and spoke to the king. My lord king, he said, these men have done a wicked thing by treating the prophet Jeremiah like this. They have thrown him into the well where he will die. At this, the king gave Ebed-Melech, the Cushite, the following order. Take three men with you from here and pull the prophet Jeremiah out of the well before he dies. The word of the Lord.
Thanks to be the Lord.
Lord, come to my aid. Lord, come to my aid. I waited for the Lord, and he stooped down to me. He heard my cry. Lord, come to my aid. He drew me from the deadly pit, from the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and made my footsteps firm. Lord, come to my aid. He put a new song into my mouth, praise of our God. Many shall see and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Lord, come to my aid. As for me, wretched and poor, the Lord thinks of me. You are my rescuer, my help. O God, do not delay. Lord, come to my aid.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. With so many witnesses in a great cloud on every side of us, we too then should throw off everything that hinders us, especially the sin that clings so easily, and keep running steadily in the race we have started. Let us not lose sight of Jesus, who leads us in our faith and brings it to perfection. For the sake of the joy which was still in the future, he endured the cross, disregarding the shamefulness of it, and from now on has taken his place at the right of God's throne. Think of the way he stood such opposition from sinners, and then you will not give up for the want of courage. In the fight against sin, you have not yet had to keep fighting to the point of death. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it was blazing already. There is a baptism I must still receive, and how great is my distress till it is over. Do you suppose that I am here to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. The father divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord. And Father Anthony rang me and said, you're doing the sermon on Sunday. And then when I came in, he said, it's difficult, isn't it? But I'll have a go. Right then, bring a picture of Jesus into your mind. There he is, his long white robe, his soft hair, sparkling blue eyes, and he stood there with the lamb round his shoulder. Yes? Is that what you see? Gives that impression, doesn't it, of him being rather soft, a bit wimpy, you know. But that isn't the picture we're shown today. We're all wrong to think that. And maybe that's because the thing we're brought up with in school is this very soft, gentle hands, mild-mannered voice, talking to children. But think about the task that he had to do. His task was to bring his people back into relationship with God. That work isn't for someone that's soft and squeamish or wimpy. In today's gospel, Jesus is delivering divine, tough love. He isn't putting his hands on his disciples' head and his followers' head saying, there, it'll be all right in the end. No, he's saying, look, we're running out of time. I'm running out of time. The fundamental situation is our relationship with God that he's trying to fix needs work doing, a lot of work doing it. Jesus knew that talking about this aspect of change would create disputes, because no one likes change. We like to be comfortable. We don't like to be challenged. And yet, here he is saying, I'm going to change everything. Turn the world upside down. There's going to be fights and disputes within families, never mind outside of families. If you were hearing this from Jesus, what would you think? You've been under the cosh of the Romans for several hundred years, one way or another. You've watched your religious leaders get co-opted by the Romans. They are now not your leaders. They're doing things at the behest of the Roman conquerors. You had to make offerings in the temple, but you couldn't use the coins that you had because they had Caesar's head on it. So you had to change them in the temple courtyard, which cost money. You couldn't use your own pigeons You had to buy them in the temple courtyard, which costs money. So this oppression that they were under was a heavy burden. And then all of a sudden this preacher comes along and says, I'm going to change everything. We're going to do it differently. Would you be worried? Anxious? This preacher, this man of God, is going to cause disruption in your life. Going to maybe split your family. Political strife, even within families. People wouldn't know which way to pick. But it's sad to say that this is sometimes how we still act today. The discord, battle, schism, whatever you want to call it, is still happening today. Unfortunately, we have leaders that create and sow division. We only have to look around in this last century at leaders who led us because they intimidated their people. They made their people believe that what they do was the right thing to do. And it led to the Holocaust, the genocide in Rwanda and in the Sudan. And even in our own country, it led to the slavery of African people. People to work in the fields and the slavery in America. The saddest part of these horrors is that people knew it wasn't right. They knew it wasn't right. But they still carried on. And people twisted the religion to say this is right. They used it. They twisted the concept of religion. And we ourselves ignored the real message of love. Love is the thing that overcomes all. It's not a new story that I'm telling. Since the beginning of time, human beings have battled to have dominion over each other. They've claimed that religion gave them the right to do that. And none of those battles have ever brought the kingdom of God an inch closer. So this other picture of Jesus we see today, that righteous outrage. Just remember that Jesus' fury in the gospel and impatience and unwillingness to hear what he has to say led to his frustration, because we only choose what we want to hear. Ask yourselves, can we open our ears and our hearts to the whole gospel message, not just the parts we accept? If we are not asking ourselves that question, we are not followers, we are pretenders. And if we are asking ourselves that question, what are we going to do about it?